We begin our service with the lighting of our five candles of fellowship. We light these candles to remind ourselves and our children of our work to create a world that is fair and caring. We strive to make the spaces we inhabit peace sites dedicated to promoting peace. We affirm the sacredness of sexuality and gender diversity. We honor all sexual orientations and gender identities, as well as people who have none, and deeply value each other's authenticity. We continue on our journey toward undoing prejudice, racism, and oppression, our journey as individuals, as a community, and as participants in the wider world. We understand disability as a culture, lived history, and embodied experience, and a product of de-ableing oppressions in society. We work to enable full access and interdependence in our faith community. We are given this one earth and seek to honor this truth by caring for our buildings, our grounds, and all places on this earth in ways that respect the interconnected web of all existence of which we are but a part. In this spirit, we gather, looking toward the day when all people are inside the candle's warmth and light. Welcome to the Unitarian Universalist Church at Washington Crossing. I'm Jen Kashu, the worship associate for today. Please join me in sharing a warm welcome back to UUCWC to our guest minister, Reverend Aaron J. Walter. Reverend Aaron is a minister, activist, and musician based in Austin and winner of the 2017 Sermon Award from the UU Women's Federation. A former YMCA director, Reverend Aaron is the singer-songwriter for the band Parker Woodland, whose music you'll hear in this service. She serves as a board member for the Texas Unitarian Universalist Justice Ministry and as the affiliated community minister of Wildflower Unitarian Universalist Church in Austin. Thank you for joining us today, Reverend Aaron.
Good morning, everyone. Thank you, Jen. It is so wonderful to be back with you from Austin. I am again in my sparkle shed, a place of both peace and joy for me. And it is a joy to be with all of you. A special welcome to anyone joining us for the first time this morning. However we gather, we know it's a brave thing to explore a community for the first time. I hope you will recognize in this time together that this is a congregation striving to create community, celebrate life, and change the world. They need you for that. That's big work. If after this morning's service you'd like to know more, please fill out a digital visitor's card at the link provided in the chat so we can learn more about you and you about this congregation. Additionally, if anyone is in need of closed captioning, you can turn it on by clicking on the bottom of your screen, the square with the letters CC inside. Clicking there and on the option Show Subtitle. If you do not wish to see closed captioning, go to that same square and click Hide Subtitle. I want to thank our tech hosts, John Harvey, Michelle Zechner, MJ Hansen, and our AV tech staffer, Ariel Schwartz, who are all behind the scenes in different locations, magically making our time together possible. Thanks so much, y'all. I also want to lift up MJ Hansen and Lori O'Neill, who create the videos and slides that you see each week. And thank Jen Kashu, the worship associate, and Robin Pugh for sharing the story for all ages, and Steve Ryan for providing music for the service. It is truly, truly a team effort. Thank you all so much. I would like to thank my colleague, your minister, Reverend Kim, for the invitation to share the virtual pulpit today. As she has wisely said to you before, to settle into this time together, I now invite you to turn your attention away from your expectations, your assumptions, even your hopes, and turn instead to your body, your breathing, the pace of your heart, the comfort or discomfort of how you are seated or standing. Can you even be 1% more comfortable, more calm, more centered, more open and curious and alive this morning? If you can, reach for that. Today would not be the same if you hadn't chosen to be here. Consider that truth. Take it into your heart as we sing together, Lean on Me. As I tell folks every Sunday on this virtual tour, this silver lining of getting to visit congregations all around the country and even Canada, your spirit will be felt even on mute. So really sing out. The words will be placed in the chat.
Sometimes in our lives, we all have pain, we all have sorrow, but if we are wise, we know that there's always tomorrow. Lean on me when you're not strong, I'll be your friend, I'll help you carry on. It won't be long till I'm gonna need somebody to lean on. Please swallow your pride if I have things you need to borrow. For no one can fill those of your needs that you won't let show. Lean on me when you're not strong, and I'll be your friend, I'll help you carry on. For it won't be long till I'm gonna need somebody to lean on. If there is a load you have to bear that you can't carry, right up the road, I'll share your load if you just call me. Lean on me when you're not strong, and I'll be your friend, I'll help you carry on. For it won't be long till I'm gonna need somebody to lean on. Call on me, brother, if you need a hand. We all need somebody to lean on. I just might have a problem that you understand. We all need somebody to lean on. Lean on me when you're not strong. I'll be your friend. I'll help you carry on. For it won't be somebody to lean on.
2 weeks ago, after sending my vaccination proof to my HR person, I stepped into my office in Center City, Philadelphia for the first time since February 2020. I was really excited. People I'd worked with for over a year who were hired during the pandemic, I saw their real life faces not on a screen for the first time. I got to experience their physical presence in the same room. I got to walk by people at their desks and say hello. It's a small thing that brought me joy. But along with the excitement was something else. The office looks the same, the furniture is the same, the meeting rooms are the same. Some of the people I saw there, they're the same. But the experience of being there felt different. It's not the same as it was before. I'm not the same. We are not the same. We are so hyper aware of our connection to each other. It's so obvious to me now. It's not just the hand sanitizer that was on every desk or the limitations on occupancy. Every conversation in a closed room and the few hugs we shared required thoughtful consideration of each other. For me, for each of us that came in that day, it was a calculated risk and an exercise in trust. Each of us had to weigh the risk to benefit ratio for ourselves. I hope in the not too distant future, we all have the ability as a congregation to make a decision together about coming in person to the sanctuary. And we will not be the same. We will be thoughtful and exercise trust. We are so connected to each other. It's so obvious. In this spirit of connection, we join with hundreds of other Unitarian Universalists in lighting a chalice, a symbol of our faith, beacon of hope, and an invitation to embody the lessons offered to each of us each time we gather. As we light our chalices today, may we be reminded that we are connected to one another and to a larger community of faith and love. Please join me in our chalice lighting words. Let us open our eyes to see what is beautiful. Let us open our minds to learn what is true. Let us open our hearts to love one another.
Breathe in, breathe out, breathe in, breathe out.
When I breathe in,
good morning, everybody. It's so good to see you. Our story today is by Janine Grossmeyer from a book called A Lamp in Every Corner, Our Unitarian Universalist Storybook. Today, Reverend Aaron is speaking about challenging ourselves to grow and how community supports that. That's what our third principle says, acceptance of one another and encouragement to spiritual growth in our congregation. This is one of my favorite principles. Actually, they're kind of all my favorite. But I know that my faith has grown larger and wider in all different directions with the help of this church. So I'm so thankful for that. Here's our story. There once was a farm in a valley that was practically perfect in every way, except that it had no rooster to crow at the crack of dawn, and so everyone was always late getting out of bed. The dog never woke up to fetch the newspaper for the farmer. The farmer never woke up in time to milk the cows before the sun came up. The cows never woke up in time to eat the grass when it was still wet with morning dew, which is when it is most tasty. Everyone was always late on the farm, and so everyone was always a bit cranky in the morning. And sometimes that crankiness lasted all day. Until one day, a chicken arrived on the farm. Everyone was excited because she had four little yellow balls of fluff peeping and cheeping behind her. Pardon me, Mrs. Chicken, snuffled the pig, who was always exceedingly polite. But would one of your chicks there happen to be, might be, a he? Why, yes, said Mrs. Chicken, and she pointed with the tip of her wing to the last chicken line. That's my son. A rooster chicken, said the youngest of the lambs, and all the other animals cheered with baas and moos and stamping of feet. We won't be late anymore. We have a rooster on the farm. But they didn't, not yet. They had to wait for the chicks to grow up. And grow they did. 5 months later, young Mr. Rooster Chicken began to grow long, swooping feathers on his tail. A tail, said the youngest of lambs. Soon you'll be old enough to crow. Mr. Rooster shook his head and walked away. His long tail feathers were drooping, and his coxcomb was down too. What's wrong? Asked his friend, the gray and white cat who lived in the barn. Oh, nothing, said the rooster. Well, something's wrong, said the yellow duck. Everybody's waiting for me to grow up and crow, said the young rooster. I'm doing the growing up part all right, but... But what, said the cat. But I don't know how to crow. I've never even heard a rooster. I don't know what I'm supposed to do. Well, we shall help you, said the pig. We will, said the cat. How? Yes, how, said the duck. We shall teach him, said the pig. You've heard a rooster crow before, have you not, Mrs. Duck? Yes, I have, and I can show you. She flew to the top of the chicken coop nearby. She folded her wings back, tilted her bill up, and crowed, quack, 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 quack. The cat crouched down and flattened his ears. Said the pig. Thank you, Mrs. Duck. Though that's not quite, perhaps. I hope not, said the rooster, looking very much alarmed. I shall demonstrate, said the pig. The pig climbed to the top of the manure pile. Tilt your head back. Mrs. Duck did that quite well. Clear your throat and crow. The pig tilted his head back and cleared his throat. The cat closed his eyes and shook his head. Ugh, said the duck, not at all impressed. I'll show you, said the cat, and he leapt to the top of the fence, curled his tail around his toes, washed one paw, washed the other one, looked up on at the sky, and said, meow. Said the duck. Hur, said the pig. Oh, dear, said the rooster, looking even more alarmed. The rooster sadly shook his head. I'll never learn to crow. I won't be good at waking people up. Nobody will like me anymore. Sure we will, said the cat. I like you right now, and you've never crowed a day in your life. All the other animals agreed with baas and moos and stomping of feet. Besides, added the cat, I don't want you to wake me up. I like to sleep late. I wonder, said the pig, have you ever yourself ever tried to crow, Mr. Rooster? Me, said the rooster. You're more of a rooster than any of us, said the duck, and we'll like you no matter what you sound like, even if you don't sound anything at all, said the cat. And so the rooster decided to try. He flew up to the top of the chicken coop. He folded his wings back, tilted his head, and he tried to make the same noises all his friends had tried to make before, softly at first. And then... Very good. After that, no one had any doubt that Mr. Rooster knew how to crow, not even Mr. Rooster himself. There is a farm in the valley that is practically perfect in every way. It even has a fine young rooster who crows at the crack of dawn, and so everyone always gets up out of bed at exactly on time. The dog always wakes up in time to fetch the newspaper for the farmer. The farmer always wakes up in time to milk the cows before the sun comes up. The cows always wake up in time to eat the grass when it is still wet with morning dew, which is when it is most tasty. Everyone is always awake on the farm because they have a rooster whose friends helped him learn how to crow. Just like this. That is better than I could do. And that's our story for today. Thank you.
Thank you for that story, Robin, and for the music, Steve. I feel like watching you in the sanctuary is an embodiment of that third principle, where we are right now, that we are accepting the world as it is and also seeking to grow as Unitarian Universalist communities and figuring out how to do this. And so today in my time of meditation, our sharing of prayers, joys, and sorrows in the chat as you would like, one of the prayers that I'm going to lift up is for all of our congregations, our leaders, our religious professionals, all of us, as we are seeking to accept and also grow with this idea of multi-platform worship or people. Some of us are in the sanctuary, some of us are at home or across the country. It's a beautiful thing and it's a challenge and it's a way that we're living our third principle right now. Would you take a breath with me? Did you get that 1% more comfortable? You can still work on it at any time. If you have joys or sorrows or prayers to share, I welcome them in the chat. Zoom has been struggling with chat a little bit, so hopefully I'll see them, but if not, we'll trust that they're being lifted up just with you naming them, because naming is truly a sacred act. We hold in our hearts the people of Afghanistan, the people of Haiti, people all around the world who are suffering from COVID-19 or otherwise trying to heal, survive, and thrive. We hold very much in our hearts the educators, family, and staff of schools during this time of transition. Here in Austin, we are going back to school. I understand where you are. Folks are also grappling with mask mandates and how to go back to school safely. So I hold in my prayers our elected officials, be they school boards, local or national leaders, that they may keep our children, our families, and our educators safety and health at the center of their concern. With that in mind, I'd like to share with you something that I found about a year ago that felt really timely at the time. It's a meditation and a series of affirmations. And I think when I found it, it was the beginning of the last school year, and I thought maybe we wouldn't need it by now, which is hilarious. Foolish. We always need affirmations for new years of learning, but this one is particularly pertinent now. I found it in a Facebook group for early childhood educators. It's called Affirmations as We Move into Distance Learning. And what struck me about these is that they're not just good for early childhood. They're not just good for distance learning. They're good affirmations for all of us in all of our daily lives, and that really the pandemic and issues of Zoom and distance learning have shown a light on some of the challenges of just being human, but these are things that are part of life no matter what. So I'm going to share these affirmations with you, And I'm going to read them once each time, but I'm going to invite you the second time I read it to say it out loud with me, sort of practicing as a mantra, as an affirmation, kind of like a responsive reading we might do in person. And then be listening for, is there one that you could really latch onto as a mantra for this year, this week, this day? Here we go. The best I can do is my best. Say it with me. The best I can do is my best. Perfect. How human of me to feel nervous about trying something new. Ready? How human of me to feel nervous about trying something new. Amen. I will give myself the same grace I give others. I will give myself the same grace I give others. I may not be able to control this situation, but I have control over my attitude. Now, let me pause and say this. That one feels aspirational to me. They all are, but that one in particular, sometimes it's hard to control your attitude. But like our principles, our Unitarian Universalist principles are not easy. We aspire to them. We reach for them. We can reach for this one too and still have grace for ourselves when we maybe don't have control over our attitude. So here it goes. I may not be able to control the situation, but I have control over my attitude. Parentheses, as best I can. All right. This is only temporary. Ready? This is only temporary. I can do difficult things. Let's go. I can do difficult things. My two favorites here at the end. I don't have to have it all figured out to move forward. I don't have to have it all figured out to move forward. And lastly, I will make mistakes, and that is okay. I will make mistakes, and that is okay. Beautiful. I give thanks to the unknown person who wrote these affirmations for moving into distance learning. And I thank you for sharing them with me. I see a couple of things that come through in the chat. I would like to lift up excitement for Mary Louise over a road trip to Maine and visiting Reverend Charles Stevens along the way. And for Dave, joy of the family being together. Sorrow for people with COVID from Nina who received immunizations or not. Absolutely. This time in the pandemic has given rise to even more complexity, even deeper concern and understanding for our interconnected web of life. We hold in prayer and love all in this community and the wider world, which is truly our home as Unitarian Universalists. Let us sing together, Spirit of Life. Today, in our service titled, Baby, We Need a Barn Raising, we're going to be talking about more on the third principle, which relates to acceptance and spiritual growth. And I'm going to be talking about it a bit through a mental health lens. I've been serving with the Sims Foundation here in Austin, which provides resources for the music community around mental health and wellness. And one of the things that our executive director, Patsy, was saying yesterday in a call with our advisory team is that they've shifted their focus at Sims over the years. It started in response to a musician here in Austin who died by suicide. And that was about 25 years ago, and his family has never really fully recovered from it. But Sims is the legacy, the positive opportunity to help others in the wake of such grief. But what they found at first was that they were really only hearing from people when they were in true crisis. Sims provides mental health resources, counseling, substance use resources, but they were hearing from people at the very end of the crisis. And what they've discovered in recent years has been more helpful in their mission of supporting mental health is that we address things much sooner. And so in Unitarian Universalism, there's something for us to do there too, which is to talk about mental health, to talk about acceptance of who we are from many lenses as soon as possible and as much as possible, because naming is a sacred act and acceptance is a liberating act, even as we're seeking to grow. So while I'm talking about this third principle of acceptance and spiritual growth, I'm also going to be using some sources. Our living tradition not only names principles, but names a host of sources, and I love that. One of them is lived experience, so I'm going to be sharing some of that with you. One of them is the words and deeds of prophetic people. I'll be sharing some of that with you. And music and poetry. You'll be receiving some of my message in song today. But why so important to balance this call to both acceptance and growth? Well, lately I've been driving in the country with my family. We call them sanity drives sometimes, but in the pandemic, we've just been trying to get out of the city and just drive. It's one of the safe ways that we get some space and we see some nature. And it's so beautiful driving in East Texas in the piney woods. But I hold my breath passing this church that has its marquee saying, "Don't like how you were born, try being born again." And it pains me because I don't know for sure, but I'm pretty sure here in Texas, where fake fights in our legislature around trans rights, fake fights, I say, because some of our conservative legislatures bring up laws to fight problems that aren't there, right? While our trans family and friends and members of our congregations are just trying to live. But I believe that that sign is probably about that. And so when we say acceptance, not every church means the same thing. And so it's really important for us as Unitarian Universalists to embrace and understand what we mean about acceptance. For me, it's accepting and celebrating each person telling me who they are and what it means to be themselves. And then we grow from there, not from a preconceived decision about what a person should be. And there's real impact on mental health when religion tells us that who we are is not who we're supposed to be. Our LGBTQ family, those of us who identify as queer, the suicide rates are much, much higher, especially for our youth, something that is very important to us. And so I know these are hard things to talk about, but it's important that we do it. It's life-saving prophetic work that we as Unitarian Universalists talk about. With that in mind as the framework of why and how, I want to share a story with you from Twitter, a source of lived experience in our modern world. This story comes from Sheila O'Malley. Her handle is at Sheila Kathleen, Kathleen with a K. Sheila shares about her experience with the year that her father died. And later I'm going to share with you a little bit about that for me too, because that's what one of the songs you're going to hear today relates to from my lived experience. But Sheila says on Twitter, the year after my dad died was so bad. I don't remember 90% of it. I moved to a new apartment and was unable to unpack for months. I was ashamed I couldn't unpack. How could I not be able to unpack? Can any of you relate to that feeling, that should in your head of what you should be able to do, but you're just not up for it then? I really related to Sheila. She said, my good friend David, who I've known since high school, knew I was struggling. And remember, Sheila's living with this feeling for months. This feeling of shame and not being able to set up her home. David said to her, you are loved. We need you. And Sheila says, I was like, doesn't matter, but thanks. So David took a risk. And I want us to think today about the risks that we take for love, for community, to reach out to someone else, and the risks that we take in saying yes and receiving when someone reaches out to us. There's a risk on both sides in this story. Sheila says, David took a risk. It very well could have ended badly. I could have lashed out. I could have been really offended. But here's what David did. He sent out an email to a group of friends without my knowledge, Sheila says. And he wrote, Sheila is struggling. She needs our help. Let's all go over there and unpack her apartment for her. Bring food. Let's make it fun. They swept. They spent 4 hours. They made her place like a home as they unpacked. Not only were things put away, she says, but now Sheila has a memory attached to this place to replace the shame, a group memory of friends laughing, telling dirty jokes, doing hard work. At the end of the night, she says she turned to a friend's husband, a quiet, taciturn guy who drives a tugboat on the Hudson. Practical, a man of few words. Looked at him speechless, she says, not knowing what to say. He just looked at her. Sheila says, he saw the look on my face, understood everything that was behind it, and said, listen, baby, what we did today was a barn raising. I just love that. And you probably know better even than I do in Texas, the real life barn raising practice, of course. It's predominantly in Amish and Mennonite communities at this point. Not very many communities literally raise barns anymore, but Wikipedia describes the men raising the barn, the women cooking, and the children playing. I hope we as Unitarian Universalists can envision a genderful expression of many different kinds of barn raisings where we come together, we build something, we raise something together, and that's what Sheila's friends did for her. And again, it was a risk. I think we can all imagine folks that we'd love to reach out to who are struggling, who we can also imagine that it might not go so well. And so just like with church community, when we consider how we reach out to people and what we offer and all of this, we do it faithfully. We do it humbly, thinking about what we know of the person, what they might need. More than our own needs to be a helper, but what they might need. And then for those of us who might be needing that support, needing a barn raising in some way, my prayer is that we might be like Sheila and let people in. Let your own heart be open. Take that risk, maybe just 1%, like Reverend Kim says in her introduction to you about being here. One of my favorite things about Sheila's story, and then I'm going to share with you in some faith resources as well, but is that they made it fun. Do you remember that last line? It doesn't have to be drudgery, this work of community, this work of accepting each other for who we are and then growing from there. David didn't say, Sheila, you know, you shouldn't have done this. How could you live this way? And then tried to help her improve her house. He came in with joy, with fun, with food, with friends. They accepted Sheila for the place that she was in that moment. And then they helped her move forward from there together with joy, with food and fun. So remember that too, okay? I want to share with you one of my favorite resources for the daily work of getting through hard times, particularly if you're experiencing depression. It comes from Monica Coleman. She's a Black womanist theologian in the Christian tradition, and she spoke to my seminary, Meadville Lombard, a few years ago, and I was just deeply touched by her work. She particularly focuses on spiritual resources around depression, and her book, one of many, is called Not Alone: Reflections on Faith and Depression. I can't recommend it highly enough, whether you struggle with mental health or not, because she offers us little nuggets of things to support us day in and day out. But here's what Monica Coleman says about her own depression, and then I'll tell you more about what she offers us. She says, "Depression is a part of my life, whether I tell anyone or whether I hide. I'm terrified, afraid of being called crazy. I'm an academic. I make a living off my mind, and my mind can play deathly tricks on me. I'm a minister. I tell people that God loves them and wants the best for them. The truth is that depression can make you question everything, especially whether God loves you. I am mortally afraid of talking about this, yet I will." For us as Unitarian Universalists, that acceptance of ourselves includes all the parts of ourselves. I could read a list of all the different types of struggles in my own heart, in my own family. I don't want to tell other people's stories that aren't mine to tell. And I want to invite all of us to tell our stories when we feel that we can, when we feel safe to do so. That naming is a piece of the acceptance and a piece of the path to growth. So what Monica Coleman does with this book is she does 40 days of devotionals on depression. They're very short chapters that can be read in a couple minutes, followed by questions to ponder or journal over, like, who in your life can handle your truth? Or what songs express how you feel? And I love this because I think we all know when you're struggling with whatever it is, that's probably not the time for a big academic tome. Just a little nugget to make you feel not alone, as the book is called, and then a question for you to consider. I love that. Some of the things that she shares with us and asks us to consider when we're struggling, I want to share with you. A little bit like the affirmations from our meditation. She says, "Practice hospitality. When we're running on empty, may someone open the doors, cook a meal, pull the chair back from the table, and share with us." Now, as Jen talked about in her opening reflection, with COVID, that challenges us, doesn't it? We do have to think about how we barn raise safely, how we practice hospitality safely. But we know more than we knew a year ago or a year and a half ago. I think we know. Let's not shut ourselves off. People need us. Monica Coleman says, "Have faith. There will be winters when the only evidence of life is deep below the ground." Remember that there are things growing and nourished in dark soil, in dark wombs. Have faith that spring will follow winter. She also says, "Who am I to say that God isn't delivering to me through a pill?" So she thinks of God when she takes her medication. She says, "Practice acceptance." So here's our third principle again. No one is unbreakable. You are already enough. You have already done enough. Seek laughter, she says. What can you do to laugh more? What makes you feel alive? I told your team as we were preparing for the service, I spent yesterday at the lake. And I almost never do that. I have a hard time taking a real Saturday. But I invite you to think about what is a real Saturday to you, even if it's not on a Saturday, even if you work on Saturday. Where is the laughter? Where is the escape? Where is the joy? And can you make sure you're prioritizing it for you? I'm very happy for Robin, who got some time this week too. She also suggests baking, biking, figuring out what your spiritual practice is. And we talked about this last time I was here. What is your tambourine? What is your instrument of joy that you can rely on even when things are hard? So I recommend her book to you, and I recommend to you just remembering our third principle. We are embarking on a continued difficult time. It's changing, it's shifting. So practicing acceptance of who you are, of where we are as a world and a community, that does not mean that we don't want to grow, that we don't want things to change or get better. We keep working for justice. We keep striving to be the best that we can be. And we remember those meditations. We will make mistakes. We do not have to have it all figured out to move forward. Be a barn raiser for someone and accept the barn raising when you get that call. Think of it as a part of our Unitarian Universalist faith that you are living our living tradition. May it be so. Blessed be. A breath, shall we? I'm shiny because I'm in my outdoor shed. A little shine and sparkle never hurt anyone. And in this next part of our worship service together, I offer you the musical piece of my ministry with Parker Woodland. And I give thanks for my bandmates, Sam and Dan, who are also in these performances. The first one that is coming next is called Everybody Else. And I wrote it probably in 2018, and it starts with, lately I've been wondering what's it all good for? Scrape and scrap and hustle like this life's an endless chore. And I was definitely grappling with the hustle of life when this pandemic hit. And as a friend of mine said, I'm gonna be very disappointed if we and our institutions don't reimagine new ways of being. It's one of the things that this pandemic, as awful and deadly as it's been, has given us. And I love that your Reverend Kim is reflecting on this in her sermon series with you. So Everybody Else is about taking some time for yourself, taking some time to rest and reflect and really ask yourself, what is the life that I want to live? And then the second song that you'll hear later, I believe during the offertory, is called Later Than We Think. And my father's last words to his sister were, sister, come home. It's later than we think. And it was about wanting her to be with family, which was something she was longing to do. She moved home from Nashville to Texas, and we didn't know that those were going to be my father's last words. He died unexpectedly about 18 years ago when I was a young adult. And that message of, it's later than we think, live your life to the fullest now. Do the things that you feel called to do now, stays with me. And then the line that follows is, it's later than we think, so love yourself. So that's the message he left with me all the time. He always said, if you don't love yourself, if you don't put yourself first, then who can? And I know that's easier said than done, but I put that, it's later than we think, so love yourself, also under that mantle of growth and acceptance. And I hope these songs are nourishing to you, and I just greatly appreciate the chance to share my spiritual practice of music with you. Thank you so much, and this one will be Everybody Else.
You have all the time in the world for everybody else, and it kills you to save some. some of it for yourself. The love yard for those who are in the wrong. What if you gave it to those who hold their ground? There comes a time when even you will have to decide. Are you ready to stop living someone else's life? There's a difference between giving up and settling down. And maybe it's not your job to know right now.
In his reflection on the third principle, which we've been talking about today, acceptance of one another and encouragement to spiritual growth, Reverend Rob Hardy says, spiritual growth isn't about a vertical ascent to heaven, but about a growth in every direction at once. It's spirituality in 3D. Growth in spirit doesn't measure one's proximity to a God above, but rather the spaciousness of one's own soul, its volume, its capacity, its size. We need souls that can take in the world in all its complexity and diversity, yet still maintain our integrity. And we need souls that can love and be in relationship with all of this complexity instead of fight or flight. We need a spiritual posture of embrace. Your critical financial support through our weekly affirmation offers us an opportunity to encourage spiritual growth for current and future UUCWC members and friends. Our commitment extends beyond our walls into our community. 50% of today's offering, minus pledges, helps fund the various organizations that we support, such as Caring for Friends, Homefront, and Snipes Farm and Education Center. To make a donation, you may use the church website, donate through PayPal, set up e-banking, or send a check through the mail directly to the church. For more information, please visit the UUCWC website. The link is in the chat. Remember to assist our treasurer by noting on your check and the memo line of your PayPal donation that your gift is for the weekly plate. Your generosity and affirmation is greatly appreciated.
When you left, not just because of you, but because I don't know what to do by myself. And I lay in our bed, just close my eyes, let you live on in my head, and I'll play dead.
May we love ourselves and accept ourselves now as a wonderful, beautiful, perfect place to be and a place for spiritual growth. They are both true. As my dear friend and colleague, Reverend Teresa Ninan Soto, who serves our congregation in Oakland, California, says, I love you so much, and you've got some work to do. It's both. Thank you for being here today, for being part of this holy, sacred container for growth and acceptance, for naming hard things and still laughing and loving. May we be building the world we dream about as we move into this next chapter of our lives together. In that spirit, our closing hymn is Building a New Way. Carol, thank you for placing the lyrics in the chat. Let us take this song into our hearts together.
Feeling stronger every day, we are building a new way. Peace and freedom is our cry. Peace and freedom is our cry. Peace and freedom is our cry. Without these, this world will die. Peace and freedom is our cry.
If you have a chalice lit at home, let's lift them together and say the words found in the chat. We extinguish this chalice, but not the light of truth, the warmth of community, or the fire of commitment. These remain kindled until we meet again.